All right, I hope we're ready to study tonight. If you're visiting with us and you do not have a copy of these blue cards, if you'll raise your hands, we have blue cards for all of our visitors. Members, you need to bring your own cards every night. And so just hold your hand up and keep your hands up until somebody brings you a copy of the cards, then you'll be able to understand what's going on. Trying to learn the Bible in every way that we can so that we'll be able to learn the Bible. So that is important to do that. Two or three things that we need to mention, and that is if tonight we're taking names for new dog tags. So if you've lost your dog tags or if you have not enlisted to get your dog tags, then tonight's the night you need to do that. And what we're asking you to do is to help offset the cost of those if you possibly can. We'll put some money in the budget for that and also for this workbook that goes along with it, your field manual. And so we're asking for $10 per person. And there are some who've got dog tags and field manuals who haven't given their $10. So please, if you haven't done that, then make sure that you do it. We're trying to learn the Bible, and we're not trying to learn Bible facts. I hope you understand that. We're trying to learn the Bible. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to say the name of a man or a woman. You've got to tell me the husband or wife of that individual. If I say Adam, you say Eve. If I say Abraham, you say
Sarah.
If I say Isaac, you say
Rebecca.
If I say Leah, you say
Jacob.
If I say Zipporah, you say that was not good. If I say Zipporah, you say okay, all right. If I say Rachel, you would say
Jacob.
What about if I say Abraham's second wife?
Keturah.
All right, Keturah. All right. If I say I've run out of names. Absolutely run out of names, okay? So that's where we are. Trying to get into the book of Exodus. What's the word Exodus mean? It means to exit, right? The word Exodus means, where does that book get its name? What's the content of the book? In what book would I read of the Israelites exiting from Egypt? Does that make it easier? Huh? If Egypt, all right, very good. And what's the name of that book, Exodus? What'd you say?
Egypt.
Egypt, all right. Where'd they come from? Egypt.
Egypt,
all right. I just keep asking the wrong questions here, and he's trying to help me out, all right. If I ask what book in the Bible would I read about the genesis of things? Genesis, all right, you got that? And so the word Genesis means beginning. And so we've covered the book of Genesis. And I hope that you're spending time learning all of these things because we're going to come back and we're not going to ever leave behind these facts that are here on the book of Genesis. It's time to get into the book of Exodus. I want us to talk about relationships in Exodus. Who is the principal character in the book of Exodus?
Moses.
Who's Moses' brother?
Aaron,
you know that? Who is Aaron's brother?
Moses.
Who's Moses' sister?
Miriam.
Who's Moses' mother?
Jochebed.
Who's Moses' father? Amram. Now, some of those things are not on this card, but you know all about that. Does anybody know the story about baby Moses? You know the story about baby Moses? Joe Holland, you have 2 minutes to tell us about baby Moses.
Well,
you've got a minute and 50 seconds.
The Jews were in the land and they were becoming so numerous that Pharaoh was concerned that they would overrun the Egyptians, and so he decreed that the midwives should kill all the babies, boys, when they were born. And that didn't work out. They wouldn't do that. And so it was decreed that Egypt would kill all the baby boys. And that worked out pretty good, except Jochebed said, "Not my son." And so she hid Moses in a basket in the bulrushes in the water, and the basket was found by the daughter of Pharaoh, and she loved him as her own adopted son and raised him for 40 years as a prince in Pharaoh's palace.
Very good. I mean, I'm telling you, that's not bad, right? To talk about baby Moses and get all the way to age 40. I'm impressed with that, all right? Now, you know that story. There's some real significance in that. There's some great, great lessons that are there. First of all, we need to understand that that story ought to encourage every single parent there is. And I'm talking about single parents whose mates, they, you know, may be married, but their mates are not faithful Christians. You've got to understand every aspect of the life of Moses was negative. I mean, you really need to. He's raised to be the Pharaoh. He's raised in the king's palace. And yet, when he reaches 40 years of age, he goes out and he sees two people fighting. Who's fighting? An Egyptian and an Israelite. Who's winning? Well, it's the matter of slavery that's involved. Now, and so Moses kills the Egyptian. Now, Stephen tells us something that's in the heart of Moses at that time. He says, Stephen in Acts chapter 7 says, when the time of the promise drew near, Moses thought that the people would understand he was to be the one who was to lead them out of the land of Egypt. What promise? Who made that promise? God. Who did he make that promise to? Way back in the book of Genesis, God says to Abraham, he says, know of a certainty that although I'm going to give you this land, your descendants will go into a distant land and they'll be there for 400 years. I suppose that's the rounding off of that number because we know exactly how long they were there. I think that ought to be on one of the cards. How long were they down in the land of Egypt? 430 years. I believe that's one. Is that a prophet question or is that a priest or king question? I think it's a prophet question. How long were they down the land of Egypt? 430 years they were. So now it's been 390 years. The time of the promise is drawn near, and Moses thinks that it's time for him to leave them out of the land of Egypt. But it's not the time. Moses is not yet ready. Here's the point I'm trying to make. Where'd Moses learn that? Think Pharaoh taught it to him? I want you to stop and think about, he's 40 years of age, and in his mind, he understands there is a promise, and there's a time element that's involved in this promise, and the time is now for us to leave this land. Wonder where he learned that. You know, Scott, you know, if we know it all, it's got to be from his mom and daddy, right? It's got to be from Amram and Jochebed. There's no question at all where that message would have come from. But there was nothing in Egypt. Listen, there was nothing in Egypt that would lead him to believe that. Parents, there's not a whole lot in public school that's going to make you have godly children. You got to understand that. There's not a whole lot on television that's going to give right values to your children. And we need to understand and take really, really seriously. We need to really understand what this story is all about. See, we're learning Bible facts, but that's not what this is all about. We're trying to change lives. We're trying to understand. We sit down, we read a passage in the Bible, and then we meditate on this. What lesson can I learn from this? And so here's Moses, and the time is there. He's ready to lead them out. He goes out the second day, and he sees two Israelites fighting. What does he say to them? Yeah, that's what they say to him. What does he say to them? Why are you brethren fighting each other? Wonder where he learned that. Wonder where he got that kind of a value in his life. You see, there are some basic principles that are there that you and I need to really, really appreciate. And so Moses is now, he's 40 years of age, and he thinks everything's just exactly right. But it's not right. And so whenever one of the Israelites says to him what? I think, June, you said it. He said what? You want to kill me like you did that Egyptian. Moses then understands he's a murderer. The king may take his life. And so he leaves that land and he goes over to the land of Midian. So the first 40 years of Moses' life spent there in the land of Egypt. The second 40 years of Moses' life is spent over in the land of Midian. Who does he marry? Zipporah. What's her evaluation of him whenever she sees him? Any idea? You remember the story? Read it carefully enough? She tells Jethro about it. And she said, "This Egyptian helped me." She doesn't even know who he is. Now, Jethro is Moses' father-in-law. He had a brother named Homer. I made that up just to see if you know Homer and Jethro. I don't know if you know that or not, okay? Didn't go over real all that good. Okay, that's another generation, but at least I woke up Joe there for a minute. Anyway, so now then, he's over there, and for 40 years, he's over there taking care of sheep. Now, he's been over there 40 years, and when he's been over there for 40 years, he has another incident that happens in his life. Where does it happen? Anybody know the place that it happens? At Mount Sinai. He goes over and he's there at Mount Sinai. And at Mount Sinai, he sees a burning bush. You know that story about the burning bush? Are you making this up? Sees a burning bush. And God tells him to take something off. If you know what it is, I'll let you say it on the mic, okay?
Shoes.
Take off your shoes. Did he take off his shoes? He sure did. And he takes that stick that he has in his hand and he throws it down on the ground, and guess what it becomes?
A stick.
When he picks it up, it becomes a stick. All right, that's good. I just asked the wrong question. It turns into a snake. And when he picks up the snake, what does it turn into?
A stick.
A stick. All right. So you know that story, do you not? Now, Moses has all kinds of reasons for not wanting to lead them out of the land of Egypt. There's all kinds. And some of them may be legitimate. When he says, "I cannot speak," is that legitimate? In his mind, is that legitimate? I guess that's a better way of asking that. Absolutely. How many speeches has he made in the last 4 years? The last 40 years, I should have said. How many speeches? I mean, you've got to stop and think about this. He's gone from being in all of the luxury, whatever there is down there in the land of Egypt, seeing every bit of the things that's there. And now for 40 years, he's been living, you know, at best a tribal life, and maybe not even a tribal life, just a nomadic life, living in tents, following those sheep around. That's an astounding point in his life. Wait a minute, any lessons there for us? You ever been disappointed? You ever make a plan in your life and it doesn't work out? You haven't lived very long if that hasn't happened. You know, life is not made up of the plans we made. What are you planning to do tomorrow? Well, you've got your day all planned out. Chances are the way you've got your day planned out tomorrow is not the way it's going to happen. Now you've got your life planned out a lot of times. And at 40 years of age, Moses has his life planned out. I know what I'm going to do with my life. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be a part of this massive plan that God has to lead all the Israelites back up to, and to carry the bones of Joseph, carry them back up there to the land of Egypt. I'm going to do all of those things. But he's not able to do it. Now, 40 years later, He's ready to do it, except he doesn't believe that he is. God answers every objection. They will not listen to me. And God told Moses to, gave him two signs. You remember the two signs he gave to Moses? One of them was throw the stick down. It became a snake. And then when he picked up the snake, what did it become?
A stick.
A stick. All right, he got that. And so it turned back into a stick. That's one of the signs he gave to him. The other sign was what? Put your hand in your bosom. When he brought it out, you want to become Moses when you've got leprosy? I mean, we read that story. We slide right through that. Do you understand what leprosy is all about? Do you understand how you understand why the Bible compares sin and leprosy with each other? You know, that's because that's the very nature of sin. It's like leprosy. And if you'll stop and think about it for a moment, you know, it's like in our day, the word cancer scares us to death. When I was in India, I was around lepers. And get leprosy and the flesh on your fingers falls off. If you don't have flesh on your fingers, you don't have anything to hold the bones in place. And I saw so many hands in India that had no fingers holding it out, begging, give me something. Bakshai, I'll never forget those words. Bakshai, Bakshai. If you don't have fingers, you almost cannot work. And so when Moses pulls that hand out, he's got leprosy. I think we read the Bible too fast sometimes. God says, put your hand back in. And when he pulls it out, it's whole again. Now, if it had that kind of impact on Moses, imagine the impact it had when they got down there into the land of Egypt. She shows it first to the Israelite. What kind of impact does showing of those signs to the Israelites have? Remember the story? He goes and he shows the Israelites that God has selected him, and the response is they're convinced. The very same signs are showed to Pharaoh. What kind of response you get? None at all. His magicians are able to do those same things. Folks, this part of the story may help you understand the passage that you read again and again in the rest of the book of Exodus. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. That which produced faith in the heart of one produced unbelief and antagonism toward God. The very same thing, the very sign that was given for the one tenderized the heart of one and hardened the heart of the other. Now, see, that's the background. When the plagues come, guess what happens when the plagues come? What you're an Israelite. How do you feel whenever, you know, the plagues are not on you and the plagues are on the Egyptian? How do you feel about that?
Good.
Feel great. Why? Because God's going to take care of us. On the Egyptians. You think about the very same things were happening in that land. I know the plagues were not on the Israelites, but the very manifestation of the power of God that brought about joy in the heart of some brought about remorse in the heart of others and antagonism toward God. Well, God answers Moses' objection by saying, if you cannot speak, I'll take care of that. They won't believe. I've taken care of that. You cannot speak. I'll take care of that. How's he going to take care of it? Where on earth does he find Aaron? Huh? Where does Moses see the burning bush? On Mount Sinai. Guess what? When he gets off the mountain, guess who's there? Hello? How long does it take to get from Egypt down to Mount Sinai? Isn't that amazing? Yeah, great answer. How long does it take to get from Egypt down to Mount Sinai? Well, when the Israelites leave the land of Egypt, it takes them a full month to get down there. Now, I know you've got a lot of folks traveling together, but you look at it, you see, here's a point that you really need to think about. Aaron had to have left the land of Egypt days and days before Moses even knew he had a problem. God's already working to solve the problems that you don't even know you've got. We're not trying to learn Bible facts. We're trying to take these Bible stories and impress Bible truths on us from these Bible stories. We need to think about it. Because you see, there's a place we need to keep the Bible. Where is that? Let's say it together. Psalms 119, verse 11. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. What does the Bible do for us? What? My bad. Do it again. Where's the best place to put your Bible? Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Why do we need... 19. One more time. Let's see if I can get it right. Where's a blessed place to keep your Bible? Psalms 119, verse 11. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalms 119, verse 11. Got it? Why? What does the Bible do for us? It is not a lamp unto our feet. Psalms 119, 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 119, verse 105. Got it?
Yeah.
Good. I want you to learn, Harrison, I want you to learn that verse. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Can you point to your feet? Your word is a lamp to my feet. Here's the Bible. That's the God's Word, right? All right, well, you've got to sit there. Point to the Bible. Your Word is a lamp to?
My feet.
And it's a light to my path. You got it? Now say the verse. Your Word?
It is to my feet and to my path.
All right. Your Word is to my feet and to my path. Psalms 119. 105. I don't know if he can learn that. Isn't that amazing? Let's do some contests. Left against the right, okay? Left against the right. This is the left. This is the right. The sheep are over here tonight, okay? Sheep are over here tonight. Left against the right. Shout out the answers if you know it. How many books in the Bible?
66.
Over here. 66. How many periods of Bible history? 15. Give that lady the prize, okay? What is... No, that's not fair to ask what the fifth period is. Is that fair? No, that's not fair. How many books in the Old Testament?
39.
39. How many books in the Old Testament?
39.
All right. Do it again. How many books in the New Testament?
27.
Very good. All right. Who was the first man?
Adam.
Who was the first woman?
Eve.
Over here. 2 and 3. All right. What God make Adam from?
Dust.
Over here, dust. What do you make Eve from? That was a tie, okay? You said it first. I'll listen for you carefully this time. Answer this one first, okay? Who was Abraham's wife?
Sarah.
Over here, okay? Over here. Left is four, the right is three. Ready? How many plagues in Egypt?
Ten.
Give it to the elder man right here. Ten plagues, all right? How many years were there in Egypt?
430.
I heard the answer over here. I heard the right answer over here. And in the midst of that, I heard the wrong answer over here. So I'm not even sure I heard the right answer over here. So the left side wins. All right. Okay. Left side against the right side. Are you ready again? Maybe I ought to stand over here. Would that be better?
Yes.
Would that be better? Okay. Huh? What did God make on the third day? I heard it right back here. I heard the junior high say that, I think. What did God make on the fifth day? Fish and fowls over here on the left side. Did you know that? Fish and birds? All right. What did you make on the first day? Darkness was already there, all right? You don't have to make darkness, okay? God said, let there be light because the darkness was already... But he had to make darkness, I guess. In the beginning, it was already there, right? You're 1 point for this side for my stupidity, okay? They need all the help they can get. All right, are you ready? We haven't learned the plagues in the land of Egypt, right? What's the fourth book of the Old Testament?
Numbers.
Over here, obviously Numbers over here, okay? What, who was Leah's husband?
Jacob.
You said it first? You wouldn't lie, would you? Huh? I heard this one over here, okay? Are you ready? What is the second age of Bible history?
Mosaic.
Who said Mosaic, okay? Mosaic, okay? I didn't say the periods of Bible history, right? Second age. I said second age, all right? Here's one for you. Huh? How many doors in the ark? How many windows in the ark? One over here. Right side wins. Anticipated the question, gave the answer. All right. Harrison, I need to ask you something. You ready? You know the answer. The Bible in three sentences.
Okay. The Bible in three sentences.
What a... Very good. All right. If I say someone, will that help?
Nope. I didn't mean to spit on you. Okay. Someone.
Adam.
Someone is?
Adam.
Someone is coming.
Someone's coming. Someone's here. Someone's coming again.
All right. I'm not trying to make him look good. I mean, you don't have to make somebody look good when they look good. But guys, that's important. And if he can learn it, I don't care who you are, you can learn it. Now, you may be where I am in my life. I'm having a whole lot more difficulty in memorizing verses than I've ever had in my life. Used to read a verse and read it a few times and it's stuck in my head. I got a leak now. You know, and I think it's falling off the edge. David McLeod, do you know why you can remember people's names better than I can? You probably don't know 200 people and I know 2,000. And so when I have to remember somebody's name, I got to look into 70 years of people's names, you see, to try to learn that. But that's important to learn. And some of these things may not be that important. But those 15 years of Bible history, do you know how important that is? To know the story of the Bible. And it may not be important that you learn it in the precise words. But if I said, who's first in the Bible? Samson or Jezebel? You need to be able to figure that out. You need to know who Samson is. You need to know where he fits in the Bible and who he is in the Bible. And you need to know who Jezebel is and what period of Bible history she fits in. If we're going to be people that know the book, then these things that we have on this card, they're not just some arbitrary list of things to try to learn. We put everything on these cards because there's a purpose behind them. How important is it to know the first promise of the coming of Jesus? Where's that found, the first promise? Come on, we can do better than that. Where's the first promise found? Genesis 3:15. How important is that to know? Man, that's really, really important. How important is it to know where I'll read about the tree of knowledge of good and evil? How important is that to know? How important is it to know where the flood is? I believe that's unbelievably important. The threefold promise to Abraham becomes the entire foundation of the Bible. The threefold promise to Abraham. What is that? I'll make of you what? A great nation. I'll put you in a great land. And I'll send a great Savior. How important is that? That's the story of the Bible. And if we really believe that God is going to turn into hell every nation that forgets God, we may find ourselves in a situation where it is illegal for us to have the Bible. And if we don't have it hidden in our hearts, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. How'd you like to be that sea captain with the Somali people? Been released, evidently, today. Yes. I don't know the details, but they shot three of the people holding him and captured the other one. I don't know the details yet, but happened this afternoon. How'd you like to find yourself in that situation? It could happen. It could happen. Let me tell you one other thing, then I'll stop. I've told this story to some of you. I don't know that I've told it in a generic way, and I know there's some people here who've never heard me tell this story. I had an uncle who was very, very faithful in the Lord when he was growing up, raised by a godly grandmother. You heard me talk about her. He was deacon in the church when they started the orphanage there in Child Haven in Cullman, Alabama. He was the first house parent, he and his wife. He left the Lord and got involved with the mafia. Yeah. Broke my grandmother's heart. Near the end of his life, he had a stroke. He was turning his life back around, and the stroke just solidified it. Couldn't put a sentence together. Just, you know, two words more than he could put together. He was in the hospital, and my cousin Brenda was there. And the mafia people would come in. And my uncle would look at Brenda and say, "Talk." Brenda says, "You want me to talk to them? What do you want me to talk about?" "Bible." And so that's his condition. Brenda says, "Can I read the Bible to you?" Picked up the Bible and started reading some Bible verses that he'd known way, way back yonder. Guess what he did? He started quoting the Bible back to her. Let's sing. They started singing. And he who could not put two words together quoted Bible verses and sang. Brenda was amazed when the doctor came in. She says, "Let me tell you what just happened." And he said, "That's not unusual. As your body shuts down, that part of your brain is the last part to leave." You know what he still had as his body was dying? Faith. Faith that a godly mother had put in the heart of him when he was little. And that's what I want in my head. When I've got Alzheimer's, and my body is shut down to everything that's happening outside, you know what I want to have right inside here? Abraham at the burning bush. Moses walking up that mountain with Isaac. Jehovah Jireh. And that's why these Sunday nights are not just trying to learn Bible facts. We're trying to learn the Bible so that when those stressful times come in our lives and we're that sea captain and our life is hanging in the balance, that we've got something that we've hidden in our hearts that's a light to our feet, a lamp to our path. And that's what these Sunday nights are all about. Now, what needs to happen, guys, is you need to learn these facts. I'm not fussing at you. You just need to learn them. And however much time it takes, you need to learn these things so that when the time comes, whenever you're in that kind of situation, and you need faith, that it's there. God help us to die in faith.